This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sweet sounds of Mac Morey there. How'd your Super Bowl week go?
I've been pounded this week.
Oh, or are we?
Somebody else is going to start liking Tuesdays a little bit more. Tuesday.
I'll tell you.
Met that guy.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I do want to play some audio for you, and it is kind of lengthy. It's about a minute and 53 seconds. And the audio comes from the New Heights podcast, in case you missed this audio earlier. Maybe yesterday, if you listened to Cody and Gold, they played it as well. I'm sure The Drive played it. But we react to this, and we talked to Nate Taylor today as well. But this, folks, in Kansas City, they're hearing this for the first time. You make your opinion. 913-586-7965. This is Travis Kelce talking about his future.
I know everybody wants to know whether or not I'm playing next year. And right now I'm just kicking everything down the road. I'm kicking every can I can down the road. And I'm not making any crazy decisions. But right now the biggest thing is just being there for my teammates and being there for my coaches, understanding, you know, that there's a lot that goes into this thing. You know, I've been fortunate over the past 5-6 years. I've played more football than anybody.
Yeah.
And it's because of the people that are in that building and the fact that we keep going to these AFC championships and these Super Bowls. And that means I'm playing an extra 3 games more than everybody else in the entire league. And that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. And it's a lot of time spent in the building, focusing on your crafts, focusing on the task at hand, every challenge that you set up for yourself. And it's that process can be grueling. It can weigh on you. It can make you better, and it can drive you crazy at the same time. And right now, it's one of those things where it was kind of driving me crazy this year. And I think that it happens as you kind of tail off towards the back nine of your career, as a SVP would say. Is, you know, it's as you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have. Man, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then on top of that, to not be there in the biggest moments, knowing your team's counting on you, man. Those are all extremely hard things to. It's just a tough reality, and yeah. You know, I think I'm going to take some time to figure it out, and I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be something that it's a wholehearted decision. I'm not half-assing it, and I'm fully here for them, and I think I could play. It's just whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
If he were to retire and call it a career, the Chiefs would only eat $2.5 million of that contract. If he continues to say $19.8 million. Travis Kelce talks a lot in that clip. And what makes the most sense and what speaks out the loudest to me is when he starts talking about the most amount of games anybody's played,
yeah,
and the taxing of his body, and if he's willing to go full all in again and put up with the work that it is. Like, you got to go to St. Joe. You got to battle the heat. You got to play in the NFL. You know you're going to play a lot of primetime games. You're going to have short weeks. Are you 100% prepared to do that again?
And you have to be. 99% doesn't cut it.
No.
No.
Because you have that doubt.
Right.
And when you have that doubt takes over, and it takes over quickly, and one bad thing teeters to another. And like Nate Taylor said, if you were to go watch the All-22 from the Super Bowl, which Mac will do, I'm sure, it's not a good look where Kelce was that game. Now, again, I will add to that, and I will say this. Getting your bricks blown off your house in the first half, tough.
Tough.
Tough to show that, like, you're really into it on every play when some of the plays really don't involve you. But, again, that's normally not Travis's character.
Mm-hmm.
And when those things start to happen and you hear the man himself speak the way that he spoke, you kind of start to think to yourself, it may not have ever really mattered if they won or lost this game. It might be that the decision was already there. And like you said, Bob, if you have 5%, hell, 1% of, am I doing this? Am I sure I want it? Then, like, you shouldn't be doing it.
But I also don't think you make that decision today.
No,
and he's not, obviously,
and
because
he's got the time and whatever he wants to do. Now they need to make a decision before, like Nate said,
yeah,
March 15th.
I mean, I think March 12th is the first day of the league year this year. And then you have a couple of days and then you get the tampering and then the real stuff starts in the middle of that week. And so I don't know what the right answer is. Like if Travis Kelce came
to
me,
answer is whatever he wants to do.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. Right. But if he came to me and goes, what do you think? Not that he would, but if he said, what do you think? I don't know. The answer that I would probably give Travis is, first of all, when are we having this conversation? Is it yesterday? Is it next month? Is it, you know, did you have time to think about all of this? The second thing is, you know, you can't go back. And so once you make that decision to step away from the game, it's over. It's done. And until you are 100% ready to commit to not playing football anymore, I think you have to seriously consider coming back. And I think this organization right now would like to have Travis Kelce back. I think he's going to add, you know, another weapon, if you will, to your arsenal for one more year. But if he's not feeling it and he sits around for the next couple of weeks and just decides, I don't want to do this anymore, because the playoff games have added another year onto his career, right? Mm-hmm. He may play, like, let's say 8 years in the NFL, but with all the playoffs, it's 9 years, you know? That's same with Mahomes and Chris Jones. They all have another year added on of what they played because of all the postseason games. And so I get it. He's tired. I get it. Like, he stunk on Sunday.
Awful.
Like, I saw the couple of plays that were
awful.
I mean, but
it's embarrassing.
The couple of plays that floated around the internet were not a good look for Travis Kelce. Mm. It was not a good look at all for Travis, but I'm giving that guy the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
100% of the time for everything that he's been through and everything that he's done. You're not paying Travis for his production next year. You're paying him for his service next year. And so if he wants to come back and be part of this thing, you absolutely come back. But I don't think it's a decision you race into right now. Because if you're racing into the decision is to retire. But if you sit around for a couple of weeks and you start to get bored, you're like, all right, I'm ready to go back. You know, it happens all the time to people in sports.
I think the ultimate benefit for the Chiefs would be to have him back on a cheap contract next year. Now, if he's not willing to restructure and his cap hit's going to be just under $20 million, I don't think that's beneficial to the Chiefs. And I think at the end of the day, the Kansas City's, they're trying to keep this dynasty going, going to try to keep rolling with wins. They got to get younger. They got to get cheaper. They got to get newer. They got to get fresher. And Kelce's just not any of those things right now. I think he'd help out on third downs. I think he'd help out in the red zone. I think he'd help out if he were to be able to keep fresh in the playoffs throughout the regular season, but that's not $20 million.
But the only way you save that money is if he retires and walks away, you know, or I guess you could extend him. You'd have to extend him a year and give him dummy years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, at the back end of that contract where you say, all right, we'll split this up over the next 2 years or something like that. And then you're on the hook for next year. Like it becomes cyclical. So I don't know what the right answer is right now, because I don't want to base what Travis Kelce should do off of one horrible, no good, rotten game that everybody had in the org. There wasn't one person other than Xavier Worthy who could really look at and go, wow, they played well. The punter stunk. The coaching staff got outcoached. The quarterback was no good. The tight end was nowhere to be found.
Oh, yeah.
The offensive line was bad defensively. I mean, let's call it what it is. It was a bad game for everybody. You can't make those rash decisions right then and there in that moment. You have to take that step back and give it time and see where you truly are.
What do you guys think he's going to do?
I think he's coming back.
Okay.
I think he's going to do the Rob Gronkowski route. I think he's gonna retire, and then I think about week 8 or 9, Mahomes is gonna call him and be like, "Hey, why don't you come back for this final push?" We got a couple injuries. We need a little bit of leadership. We need a little voice, a little spark. He's had plenty of time to rest. Who says no to that?
That'd be fantastic.
I'm going to ask a question because I don't know the answer to it. Not that it's a nuance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what then happens with his salary and the salary cap? Does it revert back to the pre-retired number? Or, like, how do we go about business at that point in time?
It's a good
question.
Is
there a certain – thank you. Is there a certain date, like, he can come back after October 31st and you get a new – like, how does that work? Because that does factor in, you know?
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. That's impressive, Chuck. I don't know the answer to that, but I just that's the route I could see him doing. Like, I'm done.
I would love it.
Because, like, it sounds like you said, and actually, you know what? We'll take a break. We'll react to that on the other side. Yep. We'll go to a break real quick. We'll react to that contract and that scenario and what he's feeling, because that is the topic of the day, is the audio that Travis Kelce gave from New Heights, 913-586-7965. What say you, Kansas City? You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Vesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
So I always pop my head in the studio over there to talk to Mac, make sure he's doing all right. He's already switched from sweatpants to jeans because we started talking about the Chiefs again. And he found a text, and he read it to me. And
why
said,
wouldn't he be in sweatpants if we're talking about the Chiefs?
It's more revealing.
More room, though.
You got a Brandon Jacobs that thing down. I can tell you what that story means on the other side of a break.
Okay.
You remember Brandon Jacobs?
Yeah, of course.
Body type?
Yep.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Heard. So he found a text. He read it to me, and I was like, you have to read that to Bob and get his raw reaction.
Okay.
So, Mac, I turn things over to you.
All right, from the 816, the performance from the Super Bowl was so rotten and the look was so bad across the board that I'm genuinely questioning my fandom. And I know I'll get over it.
I'm leaving.
I knew it.
You're a moron. Like, really?
Fandom? Like, damn.
Questioning your fandom?
Been a fan for 34 years. He's questioning.
I mean, Jesus.
It's a tough loss, man.
It's a loss of a team that's gone to three straight Super Bowls, and you're testing your fandom. Call a Raider fan.
Yeah, geez. Call a Bills fan in the 90s.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, call a Bills fan now.
Right now.
Yeah, or call some Slappy who's rooting for the Bengals for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Like seriously.
I know a guy whose last name is Schlappley.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good I know guy. A beer named Schlafly.
Good beer.
Really St. good Louis. Beer. They do a nice job. Always love having those guys in the beers with the boys.
Their distillery is, like, really awesome, too. Their brewery. Like, yeah. That's really cool.
They've done a great job over there. Yeah. Schlafly is outstanding.
Okay. Check it out. It's, like, right there in the old part of St. Louis.
Sweet.
Yeah, they've done a really nice job at their brews.
No, that's good beer.
Can you finish that text, or do we want to leave moronic where moronic
so
if, is?
Yeah, okay, so I'll get over it.
Worst take, this guy, Ron Parker.
I'm doing a new question. My fandom. I know I'll get over it and I'll be a fan for life, having for 34 years so far. But man, if your hero does something so unacceptable at some point, it has to be understandable as a fan and a father. My kids and I watched him give up and I'm still sick about it. I don't know how to feel.
All right. Yeah. We fired Billy Coons and I'm still his hero. So, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, right.
You know, he did ask my wife, should he find another hero this week? But no, I mean, if you really in your feels like that, because the Chiefs lost a Super Bowl for the third time, they've lost a Super Bowl and they've been in it three consecutive years and they had two wins before it. You're a spoiled little bee is what you are. I mean, I'm questioning my. What do I tell my? Don't play the children card. Yeah.
Now, if he was like, I'm a Dallas fan, I'd be like, dude, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly.
I'm like, sure, man.
Man, I've been rooting totally for the Jags and the Jets for all these years. Okay, fine. You're questioning your fandom, but I mean, if you're saddling up in your blue jeans and you're saying I'm questioning my fandom because they got motorboated in the Super Bowl, are you really a fan?
From the 816, I'm calling blank on 34-year fan saying something that stupid. Maybe 34 months.
I agree.
Yeah, that's the biggest moronic statement.
You should never
out of Ron Parker.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't question your fandom.
Yeah, come on.
Question your like love and desire for sports. That's fine because you love it more than you may think you do. Like when you see a lose and a loss, you're like, I just don't care. Bull crap. Mm-hmm. I watched all those beat writers that went through weeks and months and years of following that Chiefs team, watching that game fall apart, and they were just like, all this for this.
And then the
other ones would think like, but I mean, the other 2 years were cool, you know, but it's like, yeah, I mean, like, look, that loss was devastating. Like,
it's the worst loss in franchise history.
We were in that locker room and like, you know, Mahomes is here Kelsey's here. Nobody's making eye contact. Isaiah Pacheco is standing next to the hamper of all the dirty clothes, and it's a 1,000-yard stare of just like, this is not, I don't know this. And that's fair. Like, they were not known to that. And yes, it hurts the athlete, it hurts the ownership, it hurts the coach. Andy Reid was a completely different character that night and himself, like, very, like, head on a swivel, like, what's everybody doing? Where, what's going on? Not the same. So it's okay as a fan when you witness something like that, that you have a reaction, but to say you're questioning your fandom is a little, just a little out of left field.
Yeah, and I also don't like, what am I going to tell my children about the way Travis, he had a bad game. And you know what? Everybody has a bad day at work.
And maybe that was one of those games, because we talked to Darren Woodson. And remember when I asked him, I said, when did you know? Yeah. And he's like, when I was watching video, and I said, that's a practice squad player. Who the hell did he just burn?
Oh, that's
and they were like, dude, that was you. Mm. And he goes, at that moment.
It's like that song, Stan, it was me, you know?
Yeah, like, it's like, at that moment, he was like, oh, that was me getting cooked by a guy that was like a fourth man on the depth chart of a practice squad.
Right.
And maybe, and I'm just hypothetically speaking here, maybe during that game against Philadelphia, Travis Kelce was going up against guys that were 26, 27, 28. And he was like, man, I ain't that anymore. I can't compete with these guys. They're faster, they're stronger. I'm 35, I'm older. I'm struggling with this. And then you hear the audio that he had there. And the thing that's interesting is that, you know, he talked about it. He said, well, what's next for Travis? Time, for one, is next. But, I mean, two big drops in that game.
Two.
Yep, yeah.
I mean, stall drive drops that he normally never does.
The first drive, he dropped that first pass. I was like, all right, we'll get him next time. Not a big deal. That was just the beginning of when it wasn't going his way and their way, and they never were able to recover from that. And that's more about what you talk to your kids about. Like, if you face adversity, how to overcome it. The Chiefs were not prepared to face adversity in that game. They were not ready to be punched in the mouth and try to recover. Every day in life, you face adversity. Tell your kids how to handle adversity. I mean, the whole, what am I going to tell my children? Oh, my God.
But again, like, you look at something
be
like
a parent.
And I think that's the same thing, is that when this happens, and like we talked about Travis Kelce today, because it seems to be the news.
It's the top story in the football world. Yeah. I mean,
First Take's talking about it right now. They have the Chiefs and Travis Kelce, and they've got, you know, the normal committee up there with Stephen A. leading the way. But like, the thing that's interesting is that, like, the one thing I will hope Travis Kelce will not think about is like, you know, did I let the city, like Mahomes
here, come
like,
on,
I
Pat.
Let the city. And I understand that's like quick to the phone, quick to the words. Like, that's fine. And Bobby Wood Jr. said the same thing.
Yeah, but they did not let this city
down. And that's the thing. It's like, that's where they're at. Like, they didn't. Like, I told Bobby Wood Jr. at the end of that game where they lost the series, and he was like, no, you didn't, man. I was like, did you see it out there? That blue's back. The city's back. Baseball's relevant in Kansas City again. Let that be the one thing that you win on.
If you feel let down because the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl, the Royals lost in the playoffs, you feel like players let you down, you need to walk away from being a sports fan.
Right. And I don't think that, you know, that they necessarily honestly feel that, but I think in that moment they do, because they know what it's like to see the smiling faces of a win at a parade or whatever it may be, with like confetti and Travis being hammered on Don Julio and Mahomes out there in ski goggles saying, we're not done yet, we'll be back one more year, all this stuff. And that doesn't happen. They know that the city wants that. They know the city's preparing for that, and they want the shirts and they want the hats and all that sort of stuff. So I understand when he says, I let the city down, like that sort of narrative.
Yeah.
But you didn't. And the thing is like, Travis Kelce, I feel, will have a lot of that, because, look, when you do something for so long and when you finally hang it up in radio, I'm sure you'll have that moment where you're like, the day before you leave, you're like, this is my last show.
Yeah.
This is the last time I do this. And it will hit you differently than what you prepared yourself to do. Travis Kelce does not know the future. None of us know the future of our lives. And to think that the last game he ever played, he's A, getting scrutinized, B, it's a blowout, and C, it's the Super Bowl. There's a lot of emotion there. So a
ton of emotion there.
Take your time. I don't care.
Go see a Sherpa, man.
I don't care what you do one way or the other. Do whatever you want to do, and we'll see where the future goes. But again, this is the beautiful thing about sports and life that we live, is that players come and players go, And when Tony Gonzalez is here, nobody thought about Travis Kelce. And once Travis Kelce got here, nobody thought about Tony Gonzalez. And I promise you, in 3 to 5 years, somebody will come along for the Chiefs that will be the new flash in the pan. And you'll be like, man, I do remember Travis Kelce, but this guy, blank, blank, is now our guy.
Like Jared in baseball. Wiley. It could be Jared Wiley. I mean, they didn't draft Jared Wiley just to be a stiff, right? They drafted Jared Wiley and, you know, whatnot because they believe he could eventually be the heir apparent to Travis Kelce. I mean, how many people are really still talking about, you know, Moose and Haas and Kane? Now we've got Bobby Witt Jr. in the fold, right? He's replaced him. I mean, that's no knock against those guys. They won a world championship here. But that's the life cycle. Players come and go. Players change daily. Players change yearly. Some players stay longer than others. But at the end of the day, you're a fan of that jersey and you're a fan of that team, regardless who's there. Remember, 30% of the team, a third of the team changes over every single year in the NFL. There were 7 players in that Super Bowl that played in the first Super Bowl against the 49ers in Miami. That's it. And that was only 6 years ago, 5 years ago. That's dramatically changed over, you know, the rosters dramatically change. And eventually Patrick Mahomes can go, Andy Reid's going to, like, everybody's going to go at some time off of this team. But if you're a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, you're a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, whether they lose a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, get embarrassed in a Super Bowl, embarrass the other team in the Super Bowl. To sit there and question your fandom is one of the more ridiculous, crazy, wackadoodle things that I've ever heard, because there's a lot of fans out there for basically every other organization in the sport that would trade their fandom for what we've gotten to experience. And that's why I hope, like, you that loss sucked, and a lot of us are still probably not over it, but I hope it puts it in perspective, as I said on Monday, perspective of what we've been through. And I hope the spoiled, rotten fan like that jackass has a better view now on what we've been through and a better perspective on what we've been through, because that loss stings. And now you start to realize, oh, my God, have I been taking this for granted? It sure sounds like 34-year-old was taking that thing for granted for the last couple of years.
We have another respect the text before we get to Max Take. Are you guys sure that guy that texted in wasn't Rob Parker?
That's great.
I don't know. Maybe. But what were you going to say, Matt?
Oh, that's great.
No,
I love it.
This is great fan therapy. And that 816 texter did respond back. And I feel like this is good. You guys are helping him through this. So he goes, I get it. It's a stupid and entitled point of view. I like the Chiefs warm when we didn't win. I had season tickets for 27 years. I've lived.
Wait. Did you hang on?
That part was rough.
Did he?
Yeah, I know.
You like the Chiefs more when they didn't win.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Keep going.
I've lived and died with the team, went to every home game in 2012. I just feel fraudulent. Sorry for the overreaction. It's just one thing to get your ass kicked, but I just feel duped. The loss hurts so bad, I genuinely currently want nothing more to do with it. I don't know what to do with my hands. LOL.
I will say I do have a little bit of a similar take of when the Chiefs were bad. They played at noon a lot.
They did. Yeah, there was that.
I didn't have a lot of expectations.
You didn't have a lot of stress.
Sundays were kind of... nonchalant.
You know, I remember the early days of my job in the early 2000s covering the Royals, and everybody used to say, man, I wish the Royals were always good, but the crowds would stay small. You always wanted the team to go good, but have the crowds manageable. But to sit there and say you liked it better when they were not good, I mean, come on, man. Like, you're not helping yourself. You're digging that hole even deeper. Read the rest of that text again.
Okay, let me.
I don't think we need to do that.
I'm just trying to make sure I heard this the right
upset.
Way.
Yeah, they're upset.
Upset and stupid, though. I mean, this is a stupid text. It really is. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, you got your feelings and it's okay. It's not okay to feel that way. This team has taken us on this glorious ride, mm-hmm. and I now agree. You're questioning your fandom because they lost in the Super Bowl?
We're Tigers, man.
God.
We pissed off that one person, and that person was the Lord. Man, I miss that voicemail.
And he did teach a lesson to his kids about Travis, so he texted about that, too.
Somebody on Twitter just mentioned us and said that guy should have season tickets revoked.
He really should.
I mean, I will say this. If you really do think that you're questioning your fandom, then I ask you this. Drop the Chiefs for a year and go pick up a team.
Yeah, go find another team and see how the other half lives.
Just for a year. I'm not saying to lose them forever, but if you're really to the point that you're questioning it.
They've lost in the Super Bowl. I'm done.
And the way they lost was devastating. Then go.
He'll be a Bears fan.
fine.
Yep.
Yeah, go do
try
that.
It.
And see, because they're not good.
And don't red zone it. Watch 3 hours of another quarterback not named Patrick LeVon Mahomes for 16 straight Sundays and tell me how you feel.
Because even people in the playoffs, we kind of talked about this, watch full games when this is not that great.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Go watch Jacksonville versus Indianapolis on week one at noon. And then we'll
watch that all season. Watch.
Right. Watch the Colts all year, or the Jags all year, or Tennessee, or the Giants, or the Jets, or the Falcons. Falcons may be a bad example. But you know what I'm saying. Just pick another team. Go watch other teams and the way that they play. And then you look at this team and you're like, oh, my God, we're still head and shoulders better than everybody else. We had a bad day. It's okay to have a bad day. They had a bad day at a bad time. It happens in life. Not every day is going to be roses. Not every day is going to be sunshine. Not every day is going to be great. We should. This should be. That game should have made you realize and appreciate what we've had over these last 7 years instead of make you question your fandom. Oh my God!
By the way, we got tweeted about from Chiefs Blitz on Twitter. The Chiefs are going to give tight end Travis Kelce a month to decide his future. Kansas City would like to know his decision around March 14th. That's kind of the deadline, per Nate Taylor on The Fan 965. I like that. Got a little credit.
Thank you, Chiefs.
Yeah, thank you.
We have that reverse phone number lookup. We should find out who this guy is. Give him to the Chiefs and let him take his tickets.
Let's be fair. We always say to be nice, everybody. He's going through it. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm dumb. And I said some stuff. You're going through it. I get it. Like, when
I texted back too. I said, you're not dumb.
My dad is a huge KU Jayhawks fan. And when they lost the year, I think it was 92 when they had their big team or whatever it was to Arizona.
97.
97. When they lost to Miles Simon and Bibby. My dad said this quote, and I promise you said this. He goes, life as I know it is over.
That was my worst sports fan that lost. So I'm with your dad on that.
And I was 10 years old, and I'm like, what? And he's just like, that was the team.
That was the team.
That was Jock Vaughn. That was, you ask any KU fan
it was the team.
Right here. Yep. That was the worst
KU loss I've ever experienced. But you know what the difference was?
Lute Olson.
You know what the difference was, though, Dusty?
Arizona won.
They weren't coming off of two straight championships and going for their third in a row.
Right. The last time they had been, what was it? 88.
Yeah. And that was like 10 years later, 11 years, whatever it was. It wasn't coming off three straight Super Bowls, two straight Super Bowl wins, already three championships in your back pocket, five Super Bowls in 6 years, like completely different. I get your dad. I'm with him 100% on that. That's the way we all felt that day. But we had not seen a championship. This gentleman has just, the Chiefs were champions for 1,000 straight days or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. No, we brought that up because I think that's a record that will never be broken again. Kind of like Tiger Woods' consecutive streak as the world number one. It's like 263 weeks.
Weeks.
Yeah, weeks.
That's so 52 weeks in a year. That's what, 4 years, 5 years, roughly?
Weeks. Yeah. And that was just number one. He would lose it like once. Wow. And then there's also a streak that he has of making consecutive tournaments.
Jeez.
And that number you can Google search.
Making tournaments or making the cut?
Making the cut. And that is another one of those. Like, DiMaggio's hit streak will never be broken.
Right.
There's too much pressure these days. The talent's too good. Ripken's record will never be broken.
Yeah. Roger Maris's home run streak will never be broken at 61.
Yeah.
Between 98 and 05, Tiger Woods made the cut in 142 consecutive events.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's what we're
never
living,
will be
though.
Broken again.
I mean, that's
like,
what we're
ever.
The
that's
Chiefs
insane.
Have played an entire season just in postseason games in the seasons that they've played. They've won championships. We've had parades. It's been the greatest time of our life and still is. Like, people are acting like this is over and we're never going to be winners again. Get out of that mindset. What happened when they lost the Super Bowl? They came back to the AFC Championship game next year. They lost that. What happened since then? They went to three straight Super Bowls. Like, if you don't have the confidence and belief in this organization at this point, there's nothing I can do to help you. And it may be great for your mental health to step away.
I will also tell you this, that if you are a fan right now that is grieving in that loss that was embarrassing and terrible and all the feelings that are just bad, go look at what they're saying about the Chiefs now. Because this will help you out, I promise. Go look and see what they're saying about the Chiefs now. And remember it. And flag it in Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Like it, share it, save it, however you can. And then when we get to November next year, say Thanksgiving, and the Chiefs are 8-2, and Mahomes is absolutely middle fingering the entire NFL, go back and listen to it again and be like, man, this is sweet. Because when they lost to Tampa, everybody's like, oh, yeah, they went back to back. We'll see if they ever get back again. They went to three. Now everybody's saying Mahomes is different. Mahomes has to change. His team is, you know, whatever. Travis Kelce to retire. When the Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill after they lost that Super Bowl or whatever it was, the AFC Championship game, and they traded Tyreek Hill and everything changed, you know what Mahomes did? He came back next year, won MVP, had the number one offense in the league, and won a Super Bowl.
And won a Super Bowl.
Damn right.
So, again, yes, it hurts, and it sucks.
Sucks.
And it sucked even more for the one Super Bowl game I've ever been to and will probably ever go to again.
Yep.
The team that I've grown up watching and covering in this city got mollywopped. So I get your struggling and your pain, but save the receipts because this team ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, there's
and
no reason to quit on them.
They're coming. That one thing that this quarterback does is he takes things to a T of disrespect and comes back.
That's why I said he's probably already there getting ready for next season.
Oh, I'd put money on it right now that he wins the MVP next year.
He'll
be the MVP. Yeah.
He is plus 800. He is behind Lamar. He's behind Josh Allen. He's behind Joe Burrow. If that's not motivation, I don't know what it is.
He'll win the MVP, and they're going back to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who are the three quarterbacks that have lost to that quarterback with the worst odds in the last 3 years?
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
Bang. Yeah. How you doing? All three in the AFC Championship.
Questioning
game.
My fandom, he says.
Just let that guy live his life. He's grieving.
He's doing his thing.
He's grieving.
And he's liking the back and forth. We're helping him out.
He'll be all right. That's what we're here to do.
Anybody on the text line going, yeah, I agree with that guy.
No. They're more so like, I'll take his tickets.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. Where are they, man? Where you got good location? Sell them. Somebody will go.
But that's the reason that there's so many people that feel this way, won a Super Bowl in the way they lost. But two, you're just not used to it. Like when you watch the Little League World Series, if you do, when there's nothing on in like July, those teams are all superpower teams that swept through their competition and never lost. And then when they lose and they're bawling their eyes out, it's because they're not used to it. They don't know what that feeling's like. That's why Carolina players don't cry. That's why their fandom doesn't care, because there's nothing to root for. You care because you love it. You wouldn't if you didn't.
But I think this one, like most of the people that I talk to are kind of at peace and have moved on from this. I have not encountered.
I don't think Mac is yet.
Well, he's also younger, too. He's not, you know, like I think when you're younger, you hold on to losses. And then as you get older, you start to see the bigger picture and realize, you know, okay, wait, man, it's been a great ride.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I know this team's going to be fine, but it still hurts. I'm still sad about it.
Well,
I can't help it.
You're like, okay, that sucked. We lost. But I think the more people that I talk to are like, man, that was a terrible game. All right, move on to next year. We'll be great. We'll be back.
Oh, and will be.
And I think I
Bob
feel
moved
like,
on at halftime.
I did.
This game's over. Notes are closed.
I was definitely not
I'm
there.
I'm going to get some nuts and spill them all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I had to at that point in time, because what am I going to do? Sit there and get frustrated? That I mean, like, they knew they were done, too. It was obvious that this thing was over at that point in time. And it's okay. Like, it's fine. They'll be back, and they'll be great, and we'll all be loving them up, and everything will be wonderful again. But, yeah, bad loss, but move on, man. Like, just move on. It's a loss. It happens. Had they lost that game, had that been the first Super Bowl they've been to in 50 years and lost it, I think it'd take a very long time for everybody to get over. But we have the recent memory of being the champions.
From the 816, LOL, Bob, you're a turd, but you're also a father figure, and you've gotten me through this loss. Thank you, Papa.
That's there you go. Both sides of your mouth. Ever heard it?
I don't really care what you think, pal. I really don't.
He's saying thank you.
It's also telling
he's
you.
Calling me a turd, though, you know.
And a father figure. Yeah. He likes you.
Yeah. I've been called a turd, but it was like a cute thing. You're such a turd.
A little turd.
Yeah.
Is that really a kid? That could be a cute thing.
It is if you think it is. coming up, we move on from Chiefs and we get back to Royals expectations plus odds you can put on. We gave you the Patrick Mahomes MVP odds. We'll give you more Royals odds. Coming up on the other side, as we did earlier in the show, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. We'll get you through the loss little by little by little by little. What do they say in a breakup? Like, however long you're with somebody is how long it takes to get over
it? Yeah, they say for like, what is it, like every month you're together, it's supposed to take a month to get over or something
so
like that.
So that was like a, what, 6-7 month season?
Yeah.
So it's going to take you 6 to 7 months to get over it, I
actually,
guess.
As soon as the rumors start flying and all that kind of stuff, everybody will be over it soon. They will. I mean, you'll sit back and you'll realize hey, we've had a great ride, and it took a little bit of a detour, but there's no reason we don't get back on that road and continue down the highway of dominating the NFL. I mean, like, that's where I am right now. I know this team is going to be just fine. I believe in this team. You got a head coach and a quarterback that nobody can touch, and a general manager is pretty darn good.
Yeah. I also think it's okay to feel it for a minute, too, and then get back to it.
I would have been feeling it more had it been a close game, I'll be honest with you.
Really?
I was able to start mourning in the third quarter. I mean,
that's
like,
fair.
You know, if that was like a heartbreaking loss, oh, God, that would eat me up inside. Like the 14 World Series, you know, popping up and having the tying run right there at third base. Like, those are the ones that are, oh, man, we were that close. We were never in this thing. We never were in that game. It never felt like we had an opportunity to win once the ball was kicked off, right? And so you could start that grieving process early. Then it kind of became a joke. And everybody was just laughing about how pathetic it was. And I think the grieving process for me did. It started in the middle of that game. And then by the time it was over and was able to get into the locker room and do our thing and get, like, it started the healing process. I started looking forward to next year.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, but I mean, I kind of knew 24-0. I was like, all right, gear up for the worst.
Yep.
Here we go.
And it sucked. It was like, I didn't want to be there anymore on Sunday. I was ready to leave the stadium, yep, you know, and that's a Super Bowl game. That's how I felt. But I also know the big picture is like, I wouldn't want to be rooting for another team right now. Every other team out there is just boring. I mean, they really are. Like, you mentioned it earlier, Mac, pick another team. And watch the way their quarterbacks play, or just watch the way their team plays. Just sit down and watch a random NFL game on a Sunday and then watch our game. And it's night and day difference. That's why we're on national TV all the time.
Yeah, I don't do Red Zone, so I do 10 hours of full games every Sunday. And I'll tell you what, I remind myself every damn day, every damn Sunday, I'm like, wow, we are lucky. I mean, geez, it's tough to watch some of these teams.
I mean, you think anybody's interested in watching, like, Cleveland, Pittsburgh? I mean,
yeah, go AFC North football. Yeah. Let me tell you something about the AFC North.
Yeah, it's good colors, and, you know, it could be snowing and things like that.
Yes.
But like back in the day, like, if you were a Lions fan, like, I mean, you're watching that team play. Or what about the Arizona Cardinals? Right. Arizona.
You're the Cowboys. You're gearing up for Brian Schottenheimer.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
go look at what Michael Irvin said about that.
What did he say?
Oh, he said it's going to take an act of God for Dallas to be good.
He's not wrong about that.
Thing about the Chiefs is that they stay great and relevant until February, and then the Royals start. So expectations can come and go with the season, but to start the season out, they are set at 83.5 on wins over under.
I think you hammer the over.
Yeah.
That, you
know? I mean, I think hammer would be like, you think they're going to win like 95, 92 wins?
Well, what'd they win last year?
86.
86 games. So that would be a step back if they didn't hit the over, right? Like, I think if you're going to win the division, 90 is probably a fail safe to win that division, right? And I have expectations that they should win the division. So, yeah.
And Vegas seems to seemingly like that number a little bit. It's -110. Not a lot of juice, not in the plus, but that's like borderline. For them to make the playoffs is +110.
That's very low.
So those two numbers tell me that we've got another year that we had this year.
Yeah.
Right? We should have, unless there's like a catastrophic injury, which hopefully there's not, but you lean on your superstar, you lean on your rotation, and that bullpen that you know, kind of configured this offseason. Yeah. Plus you bring back Lucas Irsic, who's your ninth inning guy. You've got Sam Long. You've got Estevez as well that you went and signed in the offseason or picked up in the offseason. Plus, you've moved on from Brady Singer, and your starting rotation is what it is. It's Lugo, it's Reagans, it's Waka, it's Bubich. So, and you, this is what Vegas thinks. I think they're going to be an 84-win team.
Does 84 get you into the playoffs,
though? I think with the extended playoffs.
With the extended playoffs, okay.
Right.
I think it would have this year.
Yeah.
Would it have this year?
Let me go look, but I think so.
+270 to win the Central. The Twins are the first team to win it, or the best odds at +210. The Royals and the Tigers have the second best at +270. And then the Cleveland Guardians are +300.
Which is shocking to me that they're that low, but I do think it's between Detroit and Kansas City for the division this year. I think those are your two best teams. Both teams made some nice moves this offseason. Detroit obviously is going to be the kind of the darling going into the year because of the way that they finished the season last year and the way they got into the playoffs and played well. So I think people are going to love up Detroit. I mean, I am right now because I think they are a very good team, but I think it's between the Royals and Detroit. The Indians kind of took a step back, in my opinion. The Twins, I never know what to make of them, and obviously we know the White Sox are a work in progress.
They're +2,500.
Yeah, that's bet a dollar.
Yeah, there you go. $2.50.
Yeah.
To win the American League is +1,300. So maybe not quite there, because obviously you have the Yankees in your division.
Who else? Who else are you scared? Like, are the Red Sox back now because they got Bregman?
No, but I mean, they're always going to be that team that can, because like last year they were supposed to be much better than they were. They just fell apart.
Who out west? I mean, are we in love with Texas this year? Because, I mean, they took a step back last year. Are we in love with Houston? I mean, they lost Bregman.
Diane?
Yeah.
I mean, Houston's always good. I mean, they're just, yeah. I mean, did they lose Kyle Tucker? I thought they did. Maybe not.
Who else is in the West? Seattle? I mean, Anaheim. Oh, Anaheim's not good. They're paying Rendon to the...
Yeah, Seattle.
Seattle may be
Seattle
good.
Maybe. Like, they were right on the edge last year.
They kind of fell off at the end.
Seattle's got that fierce pitching rotation. That's just nasty. I mean, it was up there with the Royals last year when it came to production and numbers.
Yeah, so maybe Seattle wins that division, you know?
Yeah. Kyle Tucker's over with the Cubs.
That's right. Yeah, he started the Cubs. Mm.
Yeah, he was one of the two guys that they did sign from Houston that were trying to get Bregman over there, too.
Damn. Well, maybe Houston does fall off a little bit. They're getting older.
Mm-hmm.
For Bobby Witt Jr. to win MVP is plus 450. That is second in the odds in the American League. Judge, number one at plus 300. No surprise
there. I think most of the voters have already cast their ballot for Aaron Judge this year for MVP, if I'm not mistaken. They already pre-voted. It's done.
Caster Troy. Face off. And then... Matt Cotrero, the Royals manager, plus 1,300 to win manager of the year.
Yeah, he's got no chance because the Royals were good last year. You got to be on a bad team, I guess, and turn them around, but not the Royals.
I think that's the NFL. That's not Major League Baseball. That's, I mean, he could win the AL Central and he'd be the manager of the year.
Yeah. 100%. Tony Pena won manager of the year when they were like 82 or 83 and 80 or whatever, or 83 and 81, whatever it was that year. 83 and 79, I guess, is the math.
They deserved it.
He did. Yeah, he did deserve it that year. But they finished in third. You know, they didn't get into the postseason that year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I think it's hard for Q to win manager of the year now. I think people have the expectation. And if they don't achieve success, you know, it's easier to throw dirt on than it is to celebrate these guys at times. And it seems like a manager of the year, coach of the year stuff, we never celebrate the guy that should get it, you know, and who directed that ship. Like Dave Roberts could have been manager of the year last year leading the LA Dodgers. I mean, they won the World Series.
I mean, expectations are to be good. They're not necessarily to win the division. So, I mean, if you win the division, that's an expectation that you were on a good team last year and then your team is better this year. I think that it's a little bit different than the NFL because, like, the NFL is just obvious. Like, Kevin O'Connell won it this year. Next year it'll be Ben Johnson because he's going to take the cut. He's going to take the Bears to the playoffs and go 10-6 or 10-7 or whatever it is. But I like Q for manager of the year, honestly. And then Jack Caglione plus 7,000 for rookie of the year if he gets called up.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if those odds change, like, the day he gets called up, if he gets called up. Does it go from, like, plus 7,000 to plus, I'm like, sure. 500
depending
or something?
Depending on what he does in his debut.
I mean, and then it could go even lower, you know?
When Paul Skeens got called up and struck out 9 in his debut, it was probably like, all right, minus 100.
Yeah, right, like, exactly. Minus money right away.
Like, the thing is like, you can get little prop bets throughout the season, too, where you can say, I think Eloy De La Cruz will lead the league in stolen bases. It may not be a huge number. Might be, like, plus 105. But by the time you get into the second or third week of the season, he's got 15 stolen bases, it's minus 250.
Yeah,
you're not going to catch up. A guy to look at that is Bobby Witt Jr. as well. His like prop bets throughout the season that we can dive into tomorrow as well, like when we go through players. Because Vinny's back, Salvi's back. That's another guy I want to talk about as well tomorrow because we talk about the Travis Kelce swan song. When's the last time? We're getting closer with Salvi too, guys.
Yeah. Like, if are you closer with Salvi or Travis?
Travis.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, it's close.
Salvi be playing another 10 years.
But both of those guys have the same mentality with their sport. Yeah. Like, they're the captains of their teams, right? They're going to play until the wheels fall off. Maybe the wheels have fallen off for Travis. Maybe they're falling off for Salvador Perez. We get another year of it.
Yeah, it didn't look like it last year for Salvi,
and I think
this is
his last year under his Royals contract.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Because everyone said he's coming back for one more year, at least with the Royals. Will he play for another team? And... you know, like we said, we've seen other guys do it before. Ichiro played for Miami.
Yeah, who remembers that, right?
But I don't know, man. Go watch your players. But I'm excited for baseball, man. I really cannot emphasize like how much more I am excited to get ready for baseball.
And imagine if it wasn't snow outside, it was a little bit warmer, we'd really be excited for baseball at this point in time, right?
I mean, it's just nuts, man. Like, it's, you know, whatever. So, we got to get out of here? Got time?
We got a little time, but we're good.
Okay. I know you said something about 30 seconds.
No, I said 90 seconds.
90 seconds. So we got a lot of time.
That means this whole solo is about to go hard.
Should. But no, enjoy sports. It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to, but just don't give up your fandom. Don't go too far off the ledge.
There's a difference between being emotional and being irrational.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it. And a good way to do things is to go do nice things for somebody today. Like if someone gives you a ride home from work, get outside and clean their car off. You never know. Could change their day, week, month, or even their year. It's cool to care. Stay kind. Stay safe. Coming up next, it's Alex Gold and Drew from 10 to 2 on 96.5 The Fan. Talk to you tomorrow.